WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
America has gone coffee crazy. In my city, there's a cafe on nearly every corner now. Coffee lovers have more choices than ever, which is great, but it leaves us having to decide among a confusing array of beans, blends, roasts, grinders, filters, and pots. Corby Cummer's new book, The Joy of Coffee, is a guide to buying and brewing. His research took him across America and to Italy, South America, and Germany. Cummer is a senior editor at The Atlantic Monthly. Starting next year, he'll be a restaurant critic at New York Magazine as well. He told me there are two different types of beans, Robusta and Arabica.
Robusta, the aptly named Robusta, because it is robust, has virtually no flavor, and it's one of the reasons people turned away from coffee 30 years ago. There is a terrific high in coffee, if I can say that, in the early 60s, when just every man, woman, and child practically in America was having something like 3 cups a day. Then it started to fall off, and at the same time, there was an ominous rise in the Robusta content of supermarket canned coffee. Why? Because Robusta is so much cheaper. It produces coffee beans, which are the seed of a fruit. It's hard to remember. It's something that really grows in the ground. And Robusta is cheap. It produces at all kinds of altitudes. It's tolerant. It produces several times a year. It doesn't take all that much labor to make grow well. And supermarkets started using coffee as a loss leader, which they used not to. In other words, they would try to price cut each other. Therefore, naturally, the quality went down. At the same time, people were starting to drink sodas as their caffeine delivery mechanism in the mornings, and coffee kind of fell away. Now, with the rise of specialty coffee, we're back to Arabica, which is the kind that grows on mountains and takes a lot more time and effort to harvest and make grow well. And it requires cool nights and warm days, and it has much more flavor. And as sort of as an extra benefit, it has naturally half the content of caffeine that Robusta beans do.
So if I drink a cup of Arabica coffee, I'm going to have less caffeine than if I drink a cup of coffee brewed from Robusta beans?
You are, roughly half. Of course, it depends on whether they're how much coffee they're using to water, because that'll determine a lot of the caffeine content. But yes, as a rough rule, you will. Therefore, if you buy more expensive coffee for the same amount, ounce per ounce, you'll be getting less caffeine in your cup, which for people like me who are very sensitive to caffeine and who love the taste of coffee is a much better bargain.
Now, this is something interesting, that the decaf was almost always brewed from the cheaper Robusta beans, which had more caffeine, and then they would take the caffeine out and sell the caffeine to other companies.
Oh, yeah. It's a big cash crop, so to speak. That caffeine is valuable. And where does it go? Into over-the-counter analgesics to help speed the effects of aspirin and its analogs. As a result, caffeine is lucrative. Therefore, decaffeination, which is expensive, would typically be used for Robusta beans because they've got so much more caffeine. So for the same amount of money you're using to decaffeinate the beans, you can sell off that caffeine, which is this funny white powder. I've been to decaffeination plants and I've put my hand anywhere near it and somehow I felt like I was touching electricity just even breathing in that caffeine. It is really powerful. It's a bitter white powder. Caffeine actually has a flavor. It has a taste. It's bitter.
So now I could buy decaf from the bitter beans, right?
You can, because now that there's a specialty market and there's a demand for decaf that actually has some kind of taste. It used to be that decaf was kind of a strange market. You know, it was for old people who were worried about their caffeine content. And as a matter of fact, as you get older, you become more sensitive to caffeine. Therefore, it makes perfect sense that people over 50 often turn to caffeine. Their sleep is already being disturbed, and caffeine disturbs it yet further. So they do need decaffeinated coffee. But also other people, just everyone who likes coffee and can't drink that much caffeine, would like to have a little flavor when they're buying decaf. And now finally they can, because there's a market for decent Arabica beans that have been decaffeinated.
Now, when you buy coffee, whether it's caffeinated or decaffeinated, does it say someplace on the label whether it's Arabica or Robusta beans?
Good question, because the answer is no. There's so much information that even with all these confusing coffee labels, try to figure out what does Excelso mean or what does Supremo mean. Does Supremo mean that the coffee is supreme? No, it just means it's a grading terminology for the size of the bean. It might mean nothing as for flavor. So labels are already terribly misleading, and one of the reasons I wrote the book was to try to sort that out. But in any case, no, you often won't find Arabica on the label because so many of the beans that just about every bean that a specialty coffee store sells, a gourmet coffee store, is already Arabica. So they consider it superfluous. Why even bother to say it's Arabica? It's just another word that might confuse people. And they'll say what country it's from, whether it's a big one, whether it's a small one, why it's deluxe. But no, you won't necessarily see Arabica, and you certainly won't see Robusta.
Now, what's the difference between dark roast and light roasted coffee?
The time that it's in the roasting machine. And coffee is roasted as if you were sort of dry frying something, as if you were putting it in a pan on the stove without any fat, which is still the way people do it at home, a process I don't recommend because I've had so many kind of Lucy Ricardo-like episodes in my own kitchen trying to roast coffee. I think you're better off having somebody do it for you. But in any case, light or dark, it depends on how long it spends in the roaster. The most common roaster of a specialty coffee rather than a big, huge roasting company looks like a dryer. It's a perforated drum and it spins around and there's a flame under it like a broiler or like a grill. And this hot air heats up the coffee, and it roasts. There's a lot of skill involved in roasting coffee. A coffee roaster has to be like a cook because it depends on how high you keep the heat, how low, and there's a whole curve going up and down that you want to maintain while it's roasting. So essentially, roast is a darkness is just whether you keep it in longer or shorter.
And how does that affect the taste?
Well, it affects the taste a lot. Curiously enough, as the darker you take a roast, the sweeter the coffee becomes because you're burning off acids. Now, for most people who think acids, yuck, stomach ache, oh, it's going to make my mouth pucker, I don't want it. It sounds like a great idea to burn off acids and have this nice sweet flavor in coffee. But in fact, for the really wonderful, legendary, high-grown coffees of a place like Central America, say in some of the truly great coffee-growing countries like Costa Rica and Guatemala, or in Africa, many Kenya coffees, they are prized for their acidity because in the coffee business, acid is not a dirty word. It means life, liveliness, sparkle in the cup. It's something you're paying a lot of money for. Therefore, you should choose a roast that will best highlight the acidity because it's a good thing that you want. It's not kind of stomach-churning acid. It's good. It's life.
Corby Kummer is my guest. He's a senior editor at The Atlantic Magazine. He writes about food for The Atlantic and other publications as well, including New York Magazine. He has a new book called The Joy of Coffee. Why is it better to buy whole beans than ground beans?
They will taste fresher because just like location is the name of the game in real estate and hotels and restaurants, freshness is the name of the game with coffee. How recently was it roasted? That's a very hard piece of data to find out. Almost nobody wants to tell you what is the roast date, but it's crucial to whether you're going to like that coffee and taste all the flavors that it can offer you. So freshness is certainly it. That's really important.
So should we ask at the store? Are they going to tell us?
Well, they might not know, especially in those Lucite bins, those gourmet beans in supermarkets. They might have emptied out a plastic bag of coffee that came to them from a shipper with no roast date on it into those Lucite bins weeks ago. The Lucite has already accumulated oils that have sunk into the plastic and gone rancid from the previous beans, and it's been exposed to light and air, and those beans are so much staler than what you would get buying a sealed bag of coffee on the shelf. It's a sort of sad fact of life, so they don't always know. Nonetheless, when you do buy whole bean coffee, you're way ahead in the freshness game because already a green bean, the kind when you pick it and wash off the pulp, because coffee's the seed of a fruit, you wash off the pulp and then you have this rubbery, hard little green pellet that doesn't look much like a coffee bean that we know. When you roast it, it pops like popcorn. It doubles in volume and it turns that luscious brown that we think is such a wonderful color, and that mahogany color, and it makes us think lovely, rich coffee. But you've already started damaging the cells, so they can let in air. Air is what will stale coffee. So already it's not the ideal air-resistant package that it was when you took it right out of the fruit. But when you grind it, you've got thousands and thousands of times more surface area, and that lets in air very quickly. Ground coffee can only stay fresh for, say, 3 to 5 days, whereas whole beans can stay fresh for a good 10 days, almost 2 weeks, at room temperature, which is the way I think you should keep coffee.
Now, what's your favorite way to brew coffee?
Incredibly simple and low-tech. I use a metal filter as opposed to paper ones because I think that they let through a lot more of the oils because, as I said, coffee has these flavor-carrying oils, and they are what make for a richly textured brew. You get this much better texture if you use a metal filter. They're gold. They cost about $20. They're gold washed. And you never have to buy a paper filter again, and you never have to worry about running out and using paper towels or paper bags, which will truly make you hate coffee. And you get this richer texture. You also get a little sediment. So if you hate having anything at the bottom of your cup, you won't like a metal filter. But I do like it. And you can buy it for your electric brewer. You can buy a metal filter that'll go right into it. It's easy to get, and it saves you all that paper. And then I brew it right into a thermal carafe because America's number one coffee crime, for which restaurants and coffee shops should be arrested, is keeping coffee on a burner for more than 5 minutes. It just ruins coffee. It is the ruination of coffee. And the reason that, you know, you go into a coffee shop and you smell
that sour
smell. Awful,
yeah.
Acrid, sour smell and think, I don't want anything in this place. And it's because they've been keeping it on a burner. It burns off all the nice things you want and it starts emphasizing all the things you don't want. It is a terrible thing to do to coffee, whether it's on a stove or on the burner of an electric coffee machine. So I say put it straight into a thermal carafe.
Now, you've traveled around the world researching your coffee book, and I thought it was very interesting. You say that in some of the big coffee countries, like in some of the Central and South American countries, it's hard to find a good cup of coffee.
Yeah, because they're growing it as a cash crop. They want to export everything they can and make money off it. Also, the African countries were often in English colonies. Therefore, they drink tea. Tea grows nearby. It's cheap. It's what the culture has made them used to. They don't even drink coffee. But with great ceremony, even in Guatemala, a very elegant country that grows wonderful coffees, you will be served a cup of instant coffee when you go to a coffee-growing plantation because they're sending everything away and they're making money on it. They don't think to taste their own coffees. By far, the majority of farmers who grow coffee have no idea what their coffee tastes like.
Do you remember the very first cup of coffee you ever had?
Yes, it was at the kitchen table, and I was being a grown-up, and I was probably 11 or 12, and I probably thought, what a rotten, bitter-tasting swill this is. Why have these people liked it all these years? But then I became hooked. And why? It's because, like olives, coffee's an acquired taste. Because, like olives, it has bitterness as an important part of its right flavor. And it takes a while to come around to it. But once you have the good stuff, you never want to turn back.
Corby Kummer, he's the author of The Joy of Coffee. He's a senior editor at The Atlantic Monthly. Well, here's a great song about how desperately some of us need coffee. The song is called Coffee Break. It was written by Frank Lesser for his show How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. We'll hear Lesser himself.
If I can't take my coffee break, my coffee break, my coffee break. If I can't take my coffee break, something within me dies, lies down and something within me dies. If I can't make 3 daily trips where shining shrine benignly drips and taste cardboard between my lips, something within me dies, lies down and something within me dies. Like man, I'm hooked, like a mackerel. Like man, all right, call me wrong, but cut me no cream and sugar. my fix, black and strong, or like I crash out of my orbit before too long. My mind goes numb, I'm half awake, my typing's dumb, my filing's fake. If I can't take my coffee break, gone is my sense of enterprise. Coffee or something within me dies.
This is Fresh Air.